come with me if you want to live.
What's up, Road Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Fury Road. We are your hosts, Mark
and Brooke.
And this week we are talking about your pick. And you chose Casino Royale from 2006.
Yes, sir.
The first of the Daniel Craig Bond movies.
Yep.
What made you choose this one?
I've been wanting to pick it for a while, and I don't know. James Bond is legendary, iconic character. So, yeah.
That's fair. Yeah. It's been a while since I watched it, so I was excited that you picked it because I couldn't remember all of it. I could remember some parts of it, but
yeah.
It's definitely been a while.
Yeah, I think I watched it fairly recently. No, not really. 3 years ago, May 22nd, 2023.
I mean, that's a shit. That's almost 3 years ago to the day.
It is, yeah.
Huh. Interesting. But yeah, we were talking before we clicked record, and I haven't even watched No Time to Die yet, so I might go through and watch them all. We'll see. They're pretty fucking long movies, yeah. Though, so.
Did you end up buying the 4K Craig collection?
No, I didn't. That would be something I'll look into, though, actually.
It usually does go on sale.
Yeah, because I have this on Blu-ray, Quantum of Solace, and I think Spectre. Those are the first three, right?
No, Skyfall is the third one.
Okay, so I have this one, Spectre, and Skyfall on Blu-ray. But anyways, yeah. So maybe I'll upgrade them and buy the whole set. See. All right. Before we talk about this one, though, we'll kick off our box office news and booze. What are you drinking tonight?
I'm just drinking a boring ass Michelob Ultra
From a bottle. I have Pump House Crafty Radler, grapefruit and tangerine.
Nice.
Normally the Radlers are like really low alcohol content, but this one's a 4.7, so I mean, it's not super high, but that's pretty high for a Radler. But oh, that's good. It's very juicy.
You see.
All right, what's your last four watched?
Last four. So I watched Send Help. Came on Disney Plus. I wasn't the biggest fan. I was kind of disappointed. I know I'm in the minority. People love this movie. It just, I'm not the biggest fan of, what can I think of his other movie we covered on this podcast with Parsons. Drag Me to Hell.
Oh, right. Raimi. That's
Sam
who you
Raimi.
Meant.
Yes. And I thought it was going to go like a different direction. I thought it kind of got a bit too silly to me, for me, honestly, near the end. Like, just a couple parts, like, I don't know. I'm in the minority, I know it, but I just, I like to kind of twist a little bit. But I thought that there'd be different stuff on the island. I didn't think it'd just be like them two.
Yeah. I just liked Rachel McAdams in a different role.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I splurged and bought a Apple TV 4K box, and I was browsing Apple TV, and they have like different rentals, like whatever, $10, $6, and that 99-cent rentals. So I was like, oh, I'll look it up, and I saw A Better Man.
Nice.
It was a biopic about what's his name? Robbie Williams, who's a very famous British pop star, rock guy.
Man, he didn't gain he was popular here.
Yeah.
But then like you look up how popular he was in the UK.
Oh, it's crazy.
Like, he was fucking next level, man.
And
it's fucking crazy.
I don't remember any of his songs, but I do remember like some of his music videos that would pop
Yeah.
up, and but like, yeah, and like his, it's not a person that plays him, it's like a monkey, like a CGI monkey, and really good. And like, yeah, like at one of the award shows, like he called out who's the fucking asshole from a Wonderwall,
Oh, Oasis.
Oasis.
Fuck,
Yeah,
what are their
like
names?
the brothers there.
Yeah. Can't
Yeah,
think of his
called him
name.
out like, I put $100 up, you put $100 up, and let's fucking fight. And like, it, man, he had a crazy ass life. Like, oh man, definitely worth checking out. The music's really good too. Some of like the musical numbers are great. Just a great time. And then last one I'll say is I watched Apex, a new movie on Netflix, that came out this year with Taron Egerton and our girl,
Charlize
Charlize Theron. Because of my
Theron.
TikTok just fucking blew up with all these people doing the meme of Taron Egerton dancing, and
Yeah.
I was like, I need to watch this movie. So yeah, it was all right. It kind of dragged on a little bit near the end, but man, I
Sarah
love
wants to watch
Taron.
it.
Yeah, Taron is so good, man. Like, yeah. And then
Which one did you like better, Apex or Send Help? Because I feel like they kind of have a similar vibe from what I've seen of Apex.
I would say Send Help,
Okay.
probably. The third act of Apex just kind of dragged on, and I did kind of like the twist in Apex as well, but yeah, I'd say they're pretty similar, but I'd say probably Send Help.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was you.
For me. I watched Bambi the Reckoning,
Oh yeah, okay.
which is part of the Pooniverse. Not great, but like also not terrible either. I do at some point want to give it another watch because I don't know. I feel like it could be a cult type movie at some
Okay.
point.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of stoked for this whole Pooniverse like Avengers type thing that
Yeah.
they have going. I don't know. I think it's a fun idea. They're stupid, cheesy, fucking low budget movies, but I don't know, they're fun.
Yeah.
Then I watched Little Nicky because Tubi added it, and it's been so long since I watched it, and we quote it at work all the time, and
Yeah.
it's like no streaming service ever had it without having to pay. So
Yeah.
I was pretty pumped whenever Tubi got it. And then I watched The Mortuary Assistant, which came out earlier this year. Based off the video game. The movie is not good. I know Erica liked it because she played the game. And I know the game's on PlayStation now, so I may play it and then rewatch the movie and just see if I
Yeah.
like it anymore. But like on its own, without playing the game, the movie kind of sucked.
Okay.
And then I randomly watched Snake Eyes because I don't know. I was just browsing through and I saw it and I was like, fuck, I haven't watched that in a while. I was telling you, I was passing out on the couch the night that I was watching it. So I just like didn't think anything of it, shut the TV off and I went to bed. And the next night I threw it on to finish it and there was literally 5 minutes left of the movie. It's like, for fuck's sakes. But yeah, that's all for me.
I just want to go over some things that are going to be very interesting over the next 10 years. So,
Okay.
you watched the new Bambi horror movie because Bambi is in the public domain now, right?
Yes. Yep.
So these are some notable characters that will be coming to the public domain in the next 10 years.
Right.
So we got Goofy, Donald Duck,
Fuck yeah.
Betty Boop,
They've already
Nancy
made a
Drew.
Betty Boop horror movie.
Did they?
Yeah, I haven't
Okay.
watched it, but.
We got Tintin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Popeye the Sailor, which I think there's already a couple
Yeah.
movies out, horror movies out.
Yeah.
King Kong,
Oh.
Mary Poppins in
Oh, that
2030,
could be interesting.
and then these last two, 2034, we got Superman,
Okay.
and then 2035, Batman.
Oh, dude, if we could do like a horror Batman versus Superman crossover?
Yeah.
Holy shit. You know what I do want to see? I want them to make what is it called? The One Who Laughs? Is that that one? It was like a horror,
Something like that,
a
yeah.
Batman horror graphic novel.
Yeah.
I want to see them make a movie out of that, like a live action movie. I think that would be
Yeah.
so sick.
Yeah.
All right, that's interesting. I like the Goofy and the Donald Duck because we already have like the Steamboat Willie
Yeah.
horror movie. So if we could do like a Mickey verse too, oh, that'd be sick. That'd be really cool.
Yeah.
I'm all for it. I like it. I'm a sucker for fucking cheesy ass movies. Even if I don't like them, they're just fun to watch.
Yeah. I know. I need to watch those fucking
Did you watch
universe.
the Winnie the Pooh movies?
No, I haven't yet. No.
Oh, the first one's not great, but the second one was really good. You should check them out.
Know. I
You're
know.
probably gonna hate them, but
Yeah. Never know.
right. Let's go on over to the box office. Sadly, Project Hail Mary and the Super Mario Galaxy movie have finally been kicked out of the top five. Project Hail Mary, it took it 52 days, and Super Mario, it took 40 days to get it out of the top
Damn.
five. We have three new releases from the past weekend. In fifth place, we have Billie Eilish, Hit Me Hard and Soft, the tour.
Oh yeah.
I brought in 7 million.
Yeah, fucking James Cameron.
Yeah, I might check it out. I like some of Billie's music.
Yeah, me too.
In fourth place in its opening weekend, we have The Sheep Detectives, which I've heard is really good.
It looks stupid, but yeah.
Yeah, Dennis went and watched it, and he said it was actually really funny. It brought in 15 million. In third place, we have Michael still brought in 37.9 million. In second place in its opening weekend, we have Mortal Kombat 2, which brought in 38.5, and that
Nice.
surpasses the previous record for the franchise in an opening weekend. And then in first place, we have The Devil Wears Prada 2, which brought in 41.6.
Nice.
Yeah, three out of five are in their opening weekend.
Yes. I know this isn't our horror podcast, but what do you think Obsession is going to bring in this weekend?
I can't see it bringing in more than 10 million.
So you don't think with kind of the internet success of what's his name, the director's name?
Curry Barker.
Corey Barker.
Maybe.
Like, do you think he'll bring in some of those, social media kind of younger generation?
Maybe.
It's getting
Because,
really good fucking reviews.
man, it looks so good.
Yeah.
I hope that it makes more, but I don't know. It's his first theatrical release. And I feel like not enough people watched Milk and Cereal to really like draw them into the theater. And like he was a popular YouTube guy, but he wasn't like upper echelon.
No.
So I don't know. I hope it does really well, and I hope it's successful and he can continue doing movies because Milk and Cereal was so fucking good.
Yeah, I need to watch it still.
And this one looks really good too. So we'll see. But I'll say like 10 to 15 million.
Okay.
Give them the benefit of the doubt. All right, what do we got for 4Ks?
For 4Ks, we got Fight Club, Steelbook.
Like that.
We got 10 to Midnight, Rider on the Rain. We got Bridesmaids, Crack-a-tit, I don't know. Motel Hell.
Big
Another
steel book.
Steelbook. That is sick. Yeah, that's it.
Oh shit. Okay. I was on Grubv earlier today and I saw Bridesmaids on there and I debated
Okay,
it.
nice.
Yeah. Cause
Yeah, I picked up a couple Criterion releases on the spring sale.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Which ones did you get?
I got In the Mood for Love and then After Hours.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
You liked In the Mood for Love, didn't you?
Yeah, I really did.
Yeah,
I
that's such a.
almost bought, I had like four of them in my shopping cart, and it would have been like $200. I was like, nah. And one of them was Seven Samurai, which is like usually like $100, but it was like $25 off. And it's like, I don't know. I'd love to have my collection at some point, but like, am I really gonna like sit down and watch this 3-hour movie, you know, in the next 6 months? So,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, it's tough, man. Wish I could win the lottery.
Yeah.
All right. Ready to dive into this movie? I
Yes, sir.
think we said in the intro this week, we are talking about Casino Royale from 2006. Not the original. Did you know that there was an original Casino Royale?
I knew that there's the book.
Yeah. This is only the second movie that was directly based off of the book that what's his name? Ian
Fleming?
Fleming? Ian Fleming, yeah.
Think so, yeah.
But yeah, I think it was 1967 there was a Casino Royale, and it's all the same characters, but it's like a parody.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's
Like,
like, go ahead.
oh, so it's not like James Bond is.
It is James Bond, and like Vesper's in it, Le Chiffre's in it, like it's
Oh,
all
it's
the
like all
same
this.
characters,
Oh, okay.
but it's more of like a spoof or a parody of the book. So it's
Interesting.
technically a James Bond movie, but it's not in like the James Bond collection.
Huh.
Yeah, I kind of want to check it out.
Interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, anyways, so the synopsis. After earning a license to kill, secret agent James Bond sets out on his first mission as 007. Sidebar, this is the only movie in the entire franchise where we see James Bond as a new agent. All the other ones, he's had a name for himself already.
Oh, really?
But anyways, yeah. Bond must defeat a private banker funding terrorists in a high-stakes game of poker at Casino Royale in Montenegro. This was directed by Martin Campbell, who directed Vertical Limit, The Mask of Zorro,
Our boy.
Edge of Darkness, Memory, and Green Lantern.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
It's a black sheep of his resume.
Yeah.
For a cast, we have Daniel Craig playing James Bond. Like I said previously, this was his first iteration of Mr. Bond. We have Eva Green playing Vesper, Mads Mikkelsen playing Le Chiffre, and Dame Judi Dench playing M.
Yep.
And I have two honorable mentions. The first one being Jeffrey Wright,
Yep.
who is, I really enjoy him. I like him a
Yeah, me
lot.
too. He's a pretty small part in this movie.
Yeah, but he does come back later on in the franchise too.
He does, yeah.
And then Giancarlo Giannini.
Yes, very familiar to us.
Yes. I was kind of surprised to see his name. I was like, oh
Yeah.
shit. But do you have any other honorable mentions?
Not really. Like, we got Jesper Christensen, who plays Mr. White, who is in a few of these movies.
Yep.
And yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Yeah.
All right. Was it? It was Hannibal, I think, right? That
But
Giannini was in. Was it
yes,
Hannibal? Yeah.
yeah, Hannibal, yeah.
I knew it was one of the Lecter movies, but I couldn't remember which one.
Yeah.
All right. I told you that I had a question for you, but you have only watched all of the Daniel Craig movies. And you've watched potentially one or two of Brosnan's.
Yeah, I've seen like clips of Brosnan's, like the one with Sean Bean as
Yeah.
the villain.
Yeah.
And obviously, I played GoldenEye on 64 when I was a kid,
Yeah.
but like I don't remember the movie or even know if I've seen it. So,
All right. My question was going to be, who's your favorite Bond?
yeah, that's what I thought it was going to be. Yeah.
Yeah. And then For a follow-up question, it was going to be if you had to be one of them, which film would you want to be in? So I can still ask you that question with the Daniel Craig one.
It's true. It's true. Yeah. I
So
mean,
just.
like, I heard Brosnan was not a very good Bond.
See, I loved
From what I've heard, but
Brosnan
I
as Bond.
haven't seen it. So yeah, can't really answer that one. If I was gonna be in one of these movies, like just as an extra,
No, you
or
gotta be
like,
Bond, man.
I mean, you get to play poker in this one. I mean,
That's fair. Yeah.
like high stakes poker game. Like, I wouldn't want to be in Skyfall because fucking the villain in that movie is fucking terrifying. Our guy from No Country.
Yeah.
Spectre, I don't really remember it that much. I'm a bit halfway through it right now. Yeah, I'd say probably Casino Royale.
Okay. That's fair. 'Cause, like, I mean, there's some dangerous shit in this one, but for the most part, they are just playing poker. Yeah. And with a lot of fucking money.
It's quite a bit, yeah. Who is your favorite Bond? I know if you've seen, I mean, more than I have, but I mean, I don't
Yeah.
know.
I haven't seen all of them, but like I've seen some Connery. I watched all the Brosnans and I've watched all but one of Craig's. It may be like nostalgia biased, but I love Brosnan, man. I'm sure people don't think he's great, but I don't know if there's just something better. And like I grew up watching those ones, right? And like GoldenEye was such a staple between the game and the movie. Like if you grew up in the 90s, like GoldenEye was the shit. So I don't know. I'll go Brosnan. Connery was really good too, though.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
But anyways, let's dive into this discussion.
Do it. Alrighty, movie opens up. We're in Prague. We get our first look at the new James Bond. I believe he's at another agent's office, possibly. And I love this intro because it's like black and white.
Yeah.
So our first introduction to Daniel Craig as James Bond. He hasn't become a 00 agent yet, and he sits down with this guy, and the guy isn't too intimidated at first because he knows James, and he's asking about his first two kills, like you haven't really killed anyone yet. And then like does a clip back of James fighting this guy in the bathroom and ends up killing the guy. And then he ends up taking the bullets from the guy's gun and shoots him. And then we get the iconic opening of, turn around and shooting the gun. And
Yeah, that's how he gets his status because the guy that he shoots is a traitor. The guy that he kills in the bathroom was his contact. So that was his first big mission and he achieved it. So
What's your thoughts on this credit opening credits slash song for Casino Royale?
what was the song?
It was Chris Cornell, something man.
Give me a sec. You know me with fucking opening credits, dude. Just give me a sec. I just want to hear the song. I do fucking love Cornell, though.
Hey,
Fuck the fads. I like the graphic and stuff like that. I'm trying to remember the song. Right. Yeah, I mean, I like it. I'm a fan of Cornell and I like how it's like an animated kind of opening sequence, which is kind of cool and it's a lot different than what we have been used to in the past.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
But a lot of the time it is a female singer. So I don't know, it's kind of a nice change and Cornell's got a fucking great voice, so.
Yeah, he does. I didn't like it as like the opening song, but I do like the song, like the instrumentals,
Yeah.
like throughout the movie.
Yeah. Would you have preferred it as like a closing credits?
Probably, yeah. I mean, the Skyfall song is just so fucking good.
Oh
Like,
man, Adele fucking killed that one.
yeah. So now we're in Uganda. We see this big arms dealer making a deal with Lashifra. Basically, Lashifra opens or offers banking services for freedom fighters. Basically, takes their money, but takes their money, and then he invests it himself into stocks that are going to be on the rise. So, yeah, and he has this kind of not disease, but like I forget what it is. It's some with his eyeball. It's have like color in it, and like bleeds every so often.
Yeah, he's got like a big scar that goes around his eye and stuff.
Yeah. And he takes an inhaler that's filled with cocaine, basically. What do you think of Mads as Lashifra?
I love Mads Mikkelsen. I have a lot of respect for him as an actor. I think he's a very versatile actor. He's not the greatest Bond villain. He's pretty low key.
Yeah, he's very quiet. Like he
Yeah.
doesn't do much at all except for the very end of the movie.
Yeah, he's just kind of, yeah, I don't know. He's kind of like a real life villain. Whereas in other Bond movies, we're used to seeing like a lot of over the top kind of villains, where this is just a bad dude.
He doesn't seem evil. Like they say that he steals money from these people, and then he also
Yeah.
kills people, but like
Yeah.
we don't ever really see that happen except for him like investing their money. Like he doesn't seem that evil,
Yeah.
to be honest.
Yeah, like he doesn't seem like he's psychotic or anything like that. He's just
No.
kind of a guy with a lot of money and just doesn't care if people die.
Yeah, exactly. Only cares about himself pretty
Yeah.
much. So now we're in Madagascar. Bond and another guy are looking for a guy with scars on his face. We see a cobra fighting a mongoose, I believe.
Fucking wild scene.
And there's like all these people around, and you see the guy with the scars. He gets a text on his phone that says ellipsis, which is pretty important note on this phone. And I love this scene because Bond's like up top, like in this building, looking down. There's another agent like in the crowd, and he's like talking to Bond, has like his fingers to his ear, and Bond's like, "Take your hand off your ear." The guy's like, "What? What? Fucking finger off your ear?" And he's like, looked at the guy like talking, and the guy like clearly sees him. It's like gives himself away. But what do you think of this opening scene? Like this scene for me is what I remember most from this movie, apart from the poker, obviously. Yeah, go ahead. What are your thoughts on this opening scene?
It's so good, so fucking good.
It shot so well, too.
Oh man, and like knowing that they did a lot of their own stunts in this movie, like there was no CGI in this movie except to like take out
No.
like ropes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And like Daniel Craig beat the fuck out of himself for this movie.
Oh, man. I love the part when they're up on the fucking like tall ass crane,
Yeah.
and the other guy just jumps from the crane like nothing,
Yeah.
and then you see Craig do it, just like fucking slam so hard into the
Yeah.
crane.
It's just like it's such a sick foot chase scene that goes on for a while too, but
It
like
does.
you're so into it that you don't care. Like this, it's probably like a solid fucking 6 to 7 minute chase scene.
Yeah.
But like they're parkouring like through cars, on buildings, off walls. They, like you said, they end up on top of a fucking crane, and then
Yeah.
like they're jumping down from the crane onto another crane and then onto a building, and
Yeah.
it's just all out chaos, but it's so well shot. It's a
Yeah.
wicked scene.
Yeah, and they're going through like this construction site, and the guy with the scars like does like this jump on like the fucking boards and just like hops over like a saw. Like it's just, and he's going nuts, and then like Craig or Bond does like he goes down somewhere else, and then just like is immediately where he is. Like, this guy's working so hard to get away from him. But yeah, really awesome parkour chase thing. So the guy thinks he got away. He ends up in some sort of embassy. I think, I forget which embassy it was. I don't remember.
I don't know, dude.
Anyway, but Bond hops on a truck and then jumps over the fence into this embassy. And the guy goes up to the main guy in this embassy, and then Bond just makes his way in there, just beats the fuck out of like the president or whoever this guy is here, and just grabs the guy and then like sets the alarm off, and all these military guys come in, and you get like an introduction of like how well Bond is like with a gun and stuff like that, and how like smart he is. So yeah, there's a little standoff. You find out that he was a bomb maker. And he ends up shooting and killing the guy, the bomb maker, and then shooting like a barrel to blow up the place, and he ends up getting away. You find out that there's 36 hours until Ellipsis expires. What was the Ellipsis?
That was a passcode for the
Oh,
airport.
the airport, yes. Yep, you're right.
Because the whole thing, like we'll talk about it in a bit, but the whole thing with Le Chiffre is he takes all this money and, like you said, he invested in stocks, but he knows that the Skyfleet airplane manufacturer is about to suffer from a terrorist attack. So instead of doing for the stocks to rise, he puts in a bunch of put calls, so which means that the stock's going to plummet. So he puts all this money, $100 million, into this put, and then shit obviously doesn't go his way. So like the stock options expire in 36 hours. That's why it's a big race against the clock.
Yeah, because the money that he took from the Ugandan was like $104 million or something like that. And he put it in this stock, and then when she doesn't go away, he loses whatever it was, a hundred and something million dollars, and then the Ugandans are coming after him later on. So Bond ends up tracing another phone call to the Bahamas, at the Ocean Club, Paradise Island. And now we're kind of getting into the introduction of like the suave kind of like, I love Daniel Craig in this movie, and just as Bond, like he's so, I don't know, like
He's
just the way
fucking jacked.
he is, the way he carries himself, he's so smart, he's such a good talker, and he's hilarious too. Like whenever he gets to the when he breaks into to M's house and steals her like password and stuff, like he doesn't give a shit. But he gets to this Ocean Club, pretends to be the valet, crashes these guys' cars, and it's just, yeah, it's funny. And then he's looking at the cameras to, because he knows he has a time on the phone of when this text was sent. So he finds out the guy who did it was this Mr. Demetrius. He has a house at the beach. And then M gets woken up in the middle of the night, and they're like, Bond is like logging into your shit.
She's fucking pissed.
Yeah, Judi Dench is so good as M, man.
I love her.
She's so funny. He ends up joining Demetrius's poker game, and for some reason, I don't know why the fuck Demetrius bet his Aston Martin. Like, Jesus Christ, man.
It was a big ego push, I think, 'cause like
100%, yeah.
Bond's going all in, and he calls the all in, and then he raises the fucking car, and the dealer's like, "No, we're not doing this. Like, you got to play what's on the table." And
Yeah,
then
because he was
Bond,
going to write a check, right?
yeah,
And then he's like, oh, my car's on the table. It's like, oh my
and
God.
Bond was like, "All right, let's do it."
So like if Bond lost that, what would be of equal value to the car that Bond had to give up? Or would he just get to keep the car?
He might have just like staked the car. I don't know. 'Cause that's a 1964 Aston Martin. DB5 is what IMDb
Okay.
tells me.
Okay. I
I'm
see
not a
you're a
big
car
car guy.
guy.
No, I'm
Oh,
not. I
I
just read the
don't know.
trivia.
Like,
But I know that Aston Martin is a very expensive car, especially a fucking antique like that.
I love whenever it's like nighttime now, the Demetrius's wife goes up to the car and she gets about to get in and Bond pulls up. She's like, oh, so that's why he was so angry. And then just asks her to join him for a drink, and
I
it'll make my
says,
husband even more mad or something. And just the way he talks, like he just gets these girls, right? And oh, how about a drink at my place? And she's like, oh, is it far? He's like, no, just down the road. Okay. Gets in, just a fucking circle.
circles around the driveway.
Yeah. That was funny. Yeah, so they're kind of getting together. You find out that Demetrius is meeting with the Shifra. And then you find out that Demetrius is going to Miami. So then Bond orders some expensive champagne and some caviar for the girl,
I
and
love that.
he fucks off and goes to Miami.
The guy on the phone, like for the room service, he's like, "Is this for two?" He goes, "No, nah, it's for one." And then he
Yeah.
just books it out.
So what do you think of this scene? Kind of the whole scene of him killing Demetrius, and then just the whole s scene after the airplane.
Before the airplane? Like,
Like when he kills Demetrius, whenever he gets the
yeah, because he kills Demetrius in.
like this weird ass fucking
Yeah, what the fuck was that?
I don't know, this weird ass body thing.
Yeah, there was like dead people playing poker and shit.
Yeah.
I don't know, the kill was pretty anticlimactic. Like he
I liked how he
Demetrius.
kind of tricked him.
Yeah.
Like, let's
Yeah.
stab him. He's like, oh, look over there. And
Yeah.
it fucking stabs him.
Yeah, because Demetrius is he comes up behind him with a knife and then Bond flips
Yeah.
it on him. And they do
Yeah.
like a little bit of a struggle, but it's, I don't know. Like you
Yeah.
said, he kind of tricks him, but it's kind of anticlimactic. But
Yeah.
the scene after, though, like at the airport.
Like the whole kind of foot chase and just like everything.
That airport scene, man, that was something else. Like in
Yeah.
the fuel truck, he's fighting this other guy because he sees Demetrius leave like a key tag on
Yeah.
top of a stack of poker chips on one of these like dead people playing poker tables. And then after he kills him, he realizes that the key card's gone, or the key fob kind of thing. So then he needs to figure out who has it. So he goes outside and uses Demetrius's phone and calls
Yeah.
the last number that he talked to, and then you
Yeah.
see this guy pick up a phone.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, it's just such a fucking action-packed scene. Like they're fighting in a fuel truck at an airport, and like Bond's falling off the truck, and then the guy's kicking
Yeah.
his ass. But yeah, because that tanker, I think the guy puts a bomb on it, so that's what's gonna blow
Yeah.
up this new airplane.
Yeah, exactly. And this is where you kind of get like the classic kind of spy, trailing him, trying to find the bad guy. I love when they're fighting in the tanker truck, and Bond like falls out at the side and then like sees the bomb underneath,
It's just
and
like a
then
little
like
keychain
he goes
bomb.
up and you see him like grab the back of his pants, but you don't see him put the bomb on the guy, right?
Yeah.
So whenever he kicks the guy out, and then Bond ends up stopping the truck right beside the big ass plane, he gets like jumped by the cops, and the cops like throw him on the hood of the car, and then like they're all surrounding him, and they see just the guy in the background beside the cop car looking at Bond, and has like a smirk on his face, and Bond's just like staring at him
Yeah.
the whole time, like not smiling, just like staring at him. Guy hits the button, and then you hear like beep, 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 and it's on his back of him, and just keeps watching this guy get blown the fuck up. And then Bond gets a little smirk on his face.
Yeah. This is where we see too that Daniel Craig brings us a completely different James Bond than
Yeah, I was gonna
what we're used
ask,
to.
So in the other Bonds, like, does Bond like kill? Well, I know he kills some people, but like,
Yeah.
is he like kind of like in other Bonds, does he kind of kill people by like kind of like on accident, but like try like as a last resort? Or is like Daniel Craig is kind of like, fuck you, man. Like, I don't give a shit. I'll do whatever it takes.
Yeah. The other movies feel very much like spy movies, where like the typical James Bond, like he's using a lot of gadgets, it's like a lot of espionage, and like he's sleuthing and he's tricking people and stuff like that, where Craig is just like, I'm gonna beat the fuck out of you.
So there's
And
more
like,
like a you said there's more action in these movies
yeah, for
than
sure. Like there's a lot of action in the other ones too, but
yeah.
this one's more just like kind of brute force action, where, 'cause like this whole scene with the like in the truck and stuff like that, where they're just like fucking feeding each other elbows, and like it's just a lot different of combat. And like the other James Bond movies, like it's a lot of gunfighting and like the silencers and shit like that. It's not a lot of hand-to-hand stuff.
Yeah, so like I already said, the chief lost $101 million on that job. Cuts to the next day, we see Demetrius's wife was killed. She was also tortured
Poor Solange.
beforehand.
Said poor Solange.
Oh, that was her name.
Yeah.
Okay. You find out Lashifra is Albanian. And he likes to play poker. So he's hosting a massive poker tournament to try and regain his money that he lost, basically.
$10 million buy-in.
With $5 million I guess rebuy-in, whatever.
Rebuys, yeah. Fucking crazy.
So $150 million winner. We meet a girl named Vesper Lind. She, from what I gathered, she kind of works for the British government, I think. They're the ones that's lending the money to MI6 to be in this tournament. You also find out there's another guy in the tournament. Oh no. No, you don't. Because Bond took someone's spot.
Yeah.
But they don't know about Felix, I don't think.
Okay. That makes
Because you find
sense.
out that Felix works for the CIA.
CIA, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's going after the Schieffer too.
What do you think of Vesper? Because kind of like the typical, like, Bond movies, or I mean, I haven't seen many, but like the women in like Bond movies, kind of from what people kind of say, is like not like treated like the best, or like kind of like written the wrong way, at least for
They,
like the older movies,
yeah,
maybe.
they used to be like they were just Bond girls, right? Like that was their role. They weren't overly smart. They would help out here and there, but they weren't doing much. But I know that that really kind of changed in the more modern movies. And I like Vesper. I think she's good. She's not my favorite Bond girl, but I think she did a good enough job. And I like Eva Green. I think she's really good.
I love whenever they're guessing like what they were like as kids.
Yeah.
Like he guessed that she was an orphan and she's like, "Oh, I bet you're an orphan too, based on this, this, and this."
Yeah.
But and like another thing that kind of showed that Bond's like just kind of this renegade is he him and Vesper are given these alternate IDs or names and passports, and he as soon as he goes up to like the hotel to check in, he's like, "Oh, we're just checking in. It'll probably be under like Mr. Green, but my name's James Bond." And then after she's like, "What the fuck are you
Doesn't care.
doing?" He has a car across the way that has a gun, other stuff in it. We meet Renee Mathis, who is their kind of counterpart slash he's helping them he's the contact in Montenegro. One thing I didn't really get more than near the ending, but was Rene a bad guy?
He was a traitor.
Okay, he was.
S
Okay, yeah.
so I think it's just he wanted money, like
He wanted the money.
the Shifra offered him money.
Man, the Schieffer's just a whore, eh?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think it was just for money. But
And
yeah,
like Rene.
he kind of turns on them though.
Yeah. And there's kind of hints towards that, right? Because like Rene gets the chief of police arrested, even
Yeah.
though he didn't really do anything. He puts the Ugandan bodies later on in the back of some guy's trunk.
Yeah.
just give a shit. He's like,
Yeah.
ah, it's their problem now.
He's almost just like a pest for
Yeah,
everybody.
exactly. I love kind of the Vesper and Bond's back and forth, you know, whenever they get each other their attire for the night,
Yeah.
and then I think at one point Bond or Vesper says like, "Oh, are you falling for me yet?" or something like that, and he's like, "Oh, you're not my type," and she says, I forget what she says, and he's like, "No, single," and then it's like,
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, so the first kind of poker part we get that I liked was whenever Bond orders the drink,
Yeah.
because he wanted Vesper to come in at a certain point and like distract everyone with the way that she looked, which she kind of did, but I don't think she did it the right way, and then after he like ends up folding, and then he's like orders this like crazy drink that he didn't even know what the fuck he was ordering.
Yeah, I love that because he tries. He's like, "Hey, that didn't turn out half bad."
Yeah, and then like four guys order the same drink of the Schieffer's. This is like, all right, fuck, are we gonna play poker? He's just getting so pissed. Yeah, Bond folded. There's a one point where Bond thinks that he knows Le Chiffre's tell, which is he like puts his finger up on his head like that. But there's a couple there's another time whenever Bond loses that he does that. So like, was that actually Le Chiffre's tell, or was Le Chiffre during whenever Bond loses just pretending to do that because he knew that Bond thought that was his tell?
Someone tips him off. That is his tell, but someone tips him off that he is doing that whenever he's bluffing.
So someone tells Le Chiffre
Yeah.
that.
So that's why after he tricks Bond by doing that, but because he knows that Bond's looking for that tell.
Where are we
I like
at?
that too. Whenever Bond loses the hand, because Le Chiffre's like, "Oh, you must have thought I was bluffing,
Yeah,
eh?"
yeah, yeah. So they're having their first break. Bond puts a tracker in Le Chiffre's inhaler. He goes up to well, the Schieffer goes up to his apartment, and his wife is there. And man, this part scared the fuck out of me. I jumped. I did not expect it. Yeah, the Ugandans are in there, and they capture these two. He wants their money, obviously. He threatens to cut off the Schieffer's wife or girlfriend arm. And he doesn't even do anything. And then, you know, he says, let you finish this tournament and get my money back, basically. And then we get Bond ends up fighting these two in the stairwell, throws one over the top. And he's kind of a fight with the main Bane guy. And he ends up killing him in kind of the lower part of the stairs. And then he's all fucked up. He's got to get cleaned up before he goes back down. And then Vesper sit in the shower, and she just saw two people get killed, and she feels like the blood's on her hands.
I feel like it's kind of a weird reaction.
It was a little bit, yeah.
Because, like, I don't know, like, you kind of know what you're getting into with this. And I mean, she is just a British treasury agent, so it's not like she's versed in combat or anything like that, but I don't know.
So we get ahead of ourselves a little bit, but find out at the end of the movie that Vesper is a, I would say a traitor, but she basically she was threatened by Lashifra, took her husband, and said, "Get the money for me," basically. At what point do you think that happened? Do you think that was before the tournament? Do you think she's put on a show for Bond, or do you think this is actual like emotions that she's showing?
That's a good question. Like before this whole thing even kind of kicks off.
No, I guess no. Because if Lashifra wins the poker tournament, he has the money, so he doesn't need her.
That's true. Yeah, maybe it's after. Maybe it's after he
But it's
loses
pretty
all the.
quick after, though, unless it's like.
Well, they move like, because like the movie ends, but then there's still like 20 minutes left. Because I was like, what the fuck happens at the end of this? Because.
Because they have like dinner right after the tournament, right?
Yeah.
Together. And then she leaves and gets kidnapped. So do you think it's whenever she's kidnapped, that's whenever. I don't know.
That might be. It might be. Because like they both kind of get kidnapped at one point. But then like they sail away to Venice together and stuff like that. So maybe it is whenever she gets kidnapped. And like that's why he doesn't kill her. Like he could kill her.
Because you find out at the end of the movie from I forget who tells Bond that she gave up the money to let Bond live, I think, right?
It was M. M tells him that the money was never deposited to their account, but she has it.
Yeah, we already quickly mentioned, but whenever Bond gets out, Lashifra does his little tell thing, and Bond thinks that he's got him. And then, yeah, like I love the look on Lashifra's face whenever Bond gets out, and
Yeah.
just a little like jab. They're sitting across from each other, and yeah, Bond's out, needs 5 million to buy back in. He's not gonna buy back in, slash, Vesper won't give him the money to.
Yeah, because like I think she does say that like he played a stupid game and like he's an idiot kind of thing.
His ego.
Yeah, but like Bond knows that he's a better player than that. So he wants her to fucking front the money, but I mean it's $5 million. Like, are you really gonna piss away $15 million at the end of it all?
So he runs into Felix. Felix tells him that he's CIA, or yeah, CIA, I believe. And Felix is still in the running, but he's getting low on chips, so he's gonna give the $5 million to Bond. And so the payoff is he wants Lashifra if Bond wins, and Bond can keep the money. We are now back at the poker game. Yeah, Lashifra has like this massive pile of chips, and Bond has like five fucking little bricks. Lashifra's wife ends up poisoning Bond's drink. And then like it quickly cuts, and like Bond has like a shit ton of chips now just because he's playing so aggressive. But he got poisoned. He's really fucked up. Ends up going across to his car, trying to. He injects himself with like I don't know, the thing that like can give the information back to the head office. And they're like, "Okay, you're gonna go into cardiac arrest. You're dying. Need to hook up this defibrillator." Has it all hooked up, and then like one of the fucking things fell out, and he passes out. But then Vesper comes, and she revives him, and then ends up going back to play.
I was gonna say I think like this scene too proves that she's not working for Lucifer yet, because like she could have just let Bond die and been done with it.
So it must have been after Bond wins the game. Yeah. I love Lechifer is so surprised that he's back there.
Yeah.
And like Bond says, oh, that last round almost killed me. There's now four players left. The blind is now $1 million. And it kind of ends very quickly. But I mean, who wants to sit around watching poker, I guess?
Yeah, I feel like they kind of had to wrap it up a little bit.
Yeah. It all comes down to the four. They all go all in, and everyone's like has a better card than like the last person,
Yeah.
or hand, I guess. But Bond ends up winning with a straight flush. Having dinner with Vesper, and then after she's like, "Okay, I gotta go meet with Mathis." So, what did Bond know about Mathis to think that she was in trouble?
Huh.
Because she says she has to go meet Mathis, and then he like lets her go, and then he kind of like does like this look, and he says like Mathis, and then he runs out, and she sees her get kidnapped. So,
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
was Mathis also working for Lechifre?
Don't know if he would know that though.
Yeah.
Because like Mathis was working for them.
Yeah.
So it would make sense that she would have to go and meet with him and see him. So
Yeah.
yeah, I don't know where he gets the idea that it could go down.
So we get this massive car chase. And then Bond goes over like this hill, and then Vesper's laying in the middle of the road. He swerves, rolls the car, gets really fucked up. And then they take Lechifre and Vesper in this like little bunker thing. They put Vesper in a separate room. They strip Bond of all his clothes, sit him in a chair, and cut out like the bottom of it. And man, this scene's so fucking brutal. Lechifre has this like rope with a giant fucking knot in it, and just swings it up into the bottom of the chair. And oh, fuck.
Fucking hurt
That
so
would hurt
much.
so much, yeah. But I love this scene because Lechifre is going to get the account number from Vesper and the password for Bond, but Bond isn't going to give it up. He starts like laughing, and I love whatever he says, a little to the left or whatever, and then he says like, no, I can't say that sentence. Some along the lines of like, you died scratching my balls or something like that.
Yeah.
That was funny. Then we see her commotion, and Mr. White, I believe it's Mr. White, comes out, says basically something about like, shouldn't steal my organization or something like that. Shoots Lechifre in the head, and then that's it. And then Bond wakes up in the hospital, and he's at some sort of hospital retreat place. Kind of missed what happened here, but what happened to Mathis? Did Bond shoot him?
Mathis does die.
Because I saw him get carried away by the two guys, but I didn't see what happened. Did Bond shoot
Oh
him?
no, he doesn't die. He gets arrested.
Oh, okay. Bond just like knocks him out or something?
Yeah, because he wakes up. Bond's the hospital that he's in, it's the MI6 hospital. And he tells
Right.
them about Mathis, so they arrest him
Oh,
for being a
okay.
traitor.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so Vesper's okay. They're doing the money wire. So this was kind of confusing. So Vesper is the one that has the account number, right?
Yeah.
So couldn't she put it in any account that she wanted to?
She needed the password. 'Cause remember at the start of the poker game they had to choose a password?
Yeah, but she puts in the account number before Bond puts the password in.
Yeah. They need the
So she
password.
could, yeah, so she could choose any account. Bond doesn't know what account's going into, right?
But they need the password in order to get the money from the poker game.
Yeah, I'm saying is like Bond doesn't see what account it's going into though, does he?
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, but the password would have to go with the account that it was
Chose like.
at the start of the poker game.
Oh, okay. But the MI6 account doesn't get the funds though. Because
Yeah, that's
after
true.
they do all their traveling, M calls them is like, hey, the treasury guy is here and the funds never got to our account.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't know how that works.
Anyway, so Bond makes her name the password. Yeah, they end up kissing. They're in Italy. Bond ends up resigning. Kind of like montage of them just kind of, I don't know. They seem in love, I guess, kind of.
Yeah.
And then they are splitting off. She's going to get the money. He's going to get supplies. And then, like I said, M calls asking if he's going to deposit the winnings. He ends up calling the Switzerland guy and he says, oh, you got the money? Like, the funds are being transferred right now. And he's like, well, it's fucking Vesper taking the money. So he's following her, end up in this kind of old apartment. And get kind of like a shootout with, I guess they work for Mr. White, right? And there's like these like balloon things that are like holding the apartment up like in the water, I think, right? I thought it was like an all right scene. I
Yeah, it was
don't
kind of cool.
know. Yeah. But she gets locked in like an elevator. He ends up killing the guys there, and then the elevator falls down. She locked herself in the elevator though. And it falls in the water, and she ends up dying basically.
Yeah, like Bond's trying to save her, but he can't get into the elevator.
No.
So he watches her drown.
Yeah. Mr. White ends up getting the money. Like we already said, you find out that Le Chiffre kidnapped her husband and she gave her the money for Bond. But she did leave James, Mr. White's number. He ends up finding Mr. White, shooting him in the leg, and then you get this classic, you know, Bond, James Bond. And then the do. Yeah.
You nailed it.
Thank you. That's it.
All right.
Anything else?
No, I don't.
Cool. That's the way the cards fly.
Oh, all right. Could have said chips fall. Yeah. Cards fly is good though. All right, how'd you rate this one?
So I gave this a 4.5 out of 5.
Wow.
I just always love this movie. I always forget how like action packed it actually is, because like, you know, you just think it's a game, a movie about them playing poker, but really it's just a little part of this movie. I love the introduction to Daniel Craig. We've already talked about why we love him. I love the action set pieces in this. I love the score, the soundtrack. I love the characters. Just a really good spy action movie, and a really good like introduction to get people excited for Daniel Craig and James Bond again. How about you?
I also gave it a 4.5 out of 5.
Nice.
All the same reasons you said. Like, I really like Craig as Bond. We've already mentioned it, but like, he kind of brings a whole new James Bond to the table that we weren't used to seeing. I think he did a really good job with it. It's just, yeah, I don't know. It's a, like you said, it's a good introductory movie to this new James Bond world that. That we've had for the last fucking what 20 years now. This is 2006, which is crazy to think about, but yeah, I don't know. It's just a really well-made movie. It kind of got me hyped to watch the rest of them again. So I think it did its job well. All right, you guys know our scores. We'll head on over to Rotten Tomatoes and see what they scored it. The critics' consensus. Casino Royale disposes of the silliness and gadgetry that plagued recent James Bond outings, and Daniel Craig delivers what fans and critics have been waiting for, a caustic, haunted, intense reinvention of 007, which is a fair assessment. So based on that, what do you think the critics scored this one?
I'll say 92.
Oh, so close. 94. That's on 265 reviews at an average score of 8 out of
Nice.
10. The audience gave it a 90%, so you're right in the middle of those. On 250,000 ratings, an average score of 4.2 out of 5, or an 8.4 out of 10.
Real
And,
quick, actually.
yep.
So I was curious. So this movie came out in 2006. The last Pierce Brosnan movie was 2002. So that's only 4 years before this
Yeah.
one.
It
Is
felt
that not
longer.
su yeah, right? Is that not super quick?
Yeah, it felt longer.
Like, because we know, all we know for the next James Bond, we knew that our boy Denis Villeneuve is going to be doing the franchise.
Yeah.
They haven't cast a James Bond yet. It's been since 2021 since
Yeah.
No Time to Die came out. So,
Yeah.
pretty big gap so far. But like between Brosnan and Craig,
Yeah.
like they must have had Craig, cast or even planned out like
He
a
wasn't even going to take the
year.
role.
That's true. Yeah.
He didn't even want
Like it
it.
must have been like a year or two after the Brosnan one, right?
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, because you got to think, like, you got to factor in the filming and everything of that, like that, too. Yeah.
Anyway, Casino Royale has a 4.0 out of 5 on Letterboxd. 1.57 million watches.
Damn.
Let's see, there's gonna be a lot of these. Our buddy Alan gave it a 4 out of 5. Erica 4.5. Nathan 3.5. Anthony 4.5. John 5 star. Screaming Cinema 3.5. That's it.
So, fairly well received for the most part. All right, this was your pick, so I get to do our game. So you are going to be doing a blind ranking of modern day Bond girls. I'm hoping that you'll be able to do it. So all of them are Craig Bond girls, except for one. So we'll see how you do. Your first one is Vesper Lynd, played by Eva Green in Casino Royale.
I'll put her at 3.
Three. Okay. Your next one is Paloma, who's played by Ana de Armas in No Time to Die.
See, I really like Ana de Armas, but it's been a few years since I've seen No Time to Die, and
That's what I was worried about.
I don't think she had a big role in it. Like, I
She
don't think she
wasn't
was
a
in.
huge role, no.
No. So I'll say 4.
Four, okay. I put this one in. I have a feeling you have not seen this one, though. Jinx Johnson, played by Halle Berry in Die Another Day.
I mean, I've seen clips,
That scene of her coming
so
out of the water like Craig does with his speedo. It's like, huh.
yeah, exactly. Halle Berry, I mean, like early 2000s. I'll go 2.
Right. It's going to be interesting. So, what do you have? You have 2 and 5 left?
Yeah.
Or 1 and 5, I mean?
Yes.
Madeline Swan, played by Lea Seydoux in Spectre and No Time to Die.
I love Lea Seydoux, but I'm not really liking her that much in Inspector right now. She's all right. I don't know who else you're gonna do. I'll go, God damn it. I'll go 5, I guess.
Your last one. So your number one girl, quite the fucking name, Strawberry Fields, played by Gemma Arterton in Quantum of Solace.
All right.
I just, because the oftentimes the Bond girls are just as iconic as James Bond. So I wanted to give them their flowers.
Yeah. Okay.
But like, if you haven't watched the movies in a while, it's tough.
Yeah.
I was also thinking of doing like Cars,
Okay, yeah.
but you're not much of a car guy, so I wasn't sure.
No.
Anyways, all right, you ready for our
cunning stunts.
All right, how'd you rate the stunts in this movie?
I'll give it like a solid, like there isn't like that many action scenes, but like for the few there are, they are like played out very long. So let's give it 8 out of 10. I just think, yeah, just the stunts are really good in this movie. All practical, really lengthy. They go on for a long time. And yeah, 8 out of 10.
All right. Favorite stunt?
Favorite stunt? I'll go with the airport scene. Whenever they're driving in the gas truck and like Bond's hand off to the side and just that whole sequence of him get he then like flips like over the front like into the front of the cab. So I'll go with that scene.
Okay.
Stunt I'd like to try. I probably wouldn't do it is jump from crane to crane.
That's fair.
I'd probably die, to be honest.
Think you can make that distance?
If there was a net underneath,
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah, let's go with that.
All right.
How about you?
My stunts, I also gave it an 8 out of 10. I said, like, there's some fucking wild ass stunts in this movie, and
Yeah.
we've talked about a bunch now, but like, Craig just brought a whole different type of Bond. He ditched the gadgets for the most part and relied more on like his hand-to-hand combat and brute strength and violent
Yeah.
tendencies. Like, you just
That's true.
fuck
There's
with
like no
people.
gadgets in this movie.
Yeah, I know. My favorite stunt, it was a toss-up between the airport scene and the scene at the beginning. You pick the airport, I'll take the one at the beginning.
Yeah.
Just that whole chase is just fucking crazy. And stunt I would want to try in the chase scene, the parkour shit. Like,
Yeah.
I can't do it, but I think
No.
it'd be fucking cool if I could.
It'd be like the office version.
Parkour, parkour. 360 gainer off the fridge. Yeah. All right, we can wrap this one up.
Yes, sir.
Good pick. Our first James Bond
Thank you.
movie. Okay. My pick next episode. Not someone who's really known as an action movie star, but he's got a couple action movies.
Okay.
He's got one that I think is criminally underrated.
Okay.
We're going to be talking about our boy, Kevin Costner, in Waterworld.
Dude, I was gonna pick the movie like 2 weeks ago. Yeah,
Were
yeah.
I think this
Nice.
movie is so underrated.
I've never seen it. Yeah.
This is going to make it interesting then.
Yeah.
Because I grew up watching this movie, so.
I know. When I was gonna pick, I read the synopsis because I didn't know like if it was an action movie and stuff, but it sounds pretty fucking wild.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's Mad Max in the ocean,
Yeah. That's what it sounded like, to be honest.
Yeah. All
Sweet,
right.
I'm excited.
All right, so yeah, in the meantime, you guys can catch us at a podcast on Fury Road on Instagram. Shoot us a message if you want to chat, suggest a movie, or just, I don't know, give us some tips, feedback, whatever. Come back in 2 weeks. We'll be talking about Waterworld with Kevin
Yes, sir.
Costner.
Cool.
Sign us off, Brooke.
All right, man. Well, that's it. See you in a couple of weeks.
There you go. Bye.